go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back in this most illuminating and frankly very troubling conversation about the condition of the United States military and its ability to contend with a host of threats that are now arising. Some of them have been emerging for some time. Some of them seem to be coming out of the blue. But all of them are a problem, and we're discussing those and what now we must do about them with Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, United States Marine Corps retired, now a senior research fellow on defense programs at the Heritage Foundation. I can't say enough about how important I think is his most recent contribution from the Heritage Foundation, its 2016 Index of U.S. Military Strength, Assessing America's Ability to Provide for the Common Defense. So, Dakota, let's cut to the chase. We have threats abounding. We have serious shortfalls. What, as you look at this, is needed now in terms of remedying not just the readiness shortfalls, but the future force structure and equipment needs of the United States military?
Well, it all starts with funding. Funding should be commensurate with U.S. national security interests. So if we have interests around the world and you want to be able to defend those interests, you then envision the military capabilities as the military component of national power amongst diplomacy and others. And then you associate the resources necessary to have that military capability to secure those interests. So this is going to sound wonky, but I think it's important to provide some references. During the Cold War, we averaged right around 7% of GDP over several decades from the 1940s on. So that just gave you an idea of how important national security was relative to U.S. economic power. Over the last 40 years, that's still been nearly 4.5% of GDP. Where we're currently at now is somewhere around 3.2%. So on a 40-year average, on an $18 trillion economy, we would still be well up into the $800 billion range for spending on defense. If you were at 4%, it's like $720 billion. Bob Gates, in his last budget, had estimated that this year would be spending around $650 billion. The baseline imposed by the Budget Control Act keeps us at around $500 billion. So if we're currently at a legally limited $500 billion plus a little bit for your baseline funding against Bob Gates, $650, against a 4% average of $720. You see where I'm heading on that? We're like $150 or $200 billion per year less than what the United States has historically thought was necessary to secure its interests on a global basis. So the military services are having to deal with these fairly dramatic reductions in spending, which sounds completely goofy since it's so much money that's involved. But the fighters and the tanks and the ships and the communications gear, et cetera, today are much more capable, but they're more complicated, more complex to give you that capability, and therefore they're more expensive. You know, we want to retaining an all-volunteer force. I mean, it's just an expensive thing to do. And it's not that we're global policemen and seeing after everybody's interests. This should be very self-centered in securing our interests. And to the extent that we make ourselves dependent on what other people are doing, we're actually introducing vulnerabilities into our own security calculations.
You know, on that point, I want to just draw you out on something, Dakota. We're told the American media by some former defense officials like Larry Korb, the president himself lately, that, you know, we're spending more on defense, even at these lower levels, than X number of other countries, pick your number, 8, 10 combined. And one thing that I wanted to just ask you about is whenever somebody says that, it always occurs to me, the police spend considerably more than criminals do for the purpose of protecting our society, our people, our lives against those criminals and their misconduct. without getting into are we the world's policemen, just as you say, having global interests, protecting those interests is inherently a more expensive thing than putting them at risk, isn't it?
Right. So the argument in one way says if everybody else wants to be weak, then we should be weak too. So if the NATO target is 2% of GDP, well, clearly we're above that. But most of the NATO members, 24 of the 28, are below that. Most are in the 1.2% range, spending on security. So when you line up that we spend as much as the next 10, and most of those are allies, look at what our allies are actually spending. And if they were spending what they should be spending, then we would be spending as much as the next 5 or 6. You see what I mean? And these are regional, local powers, they're not global powers. So the difference is so great because other people have made very, very bad decisions and have very weakened national security states. We don't want to peg our spending to the poor decisions and poor posture of other people.
Or to rely on them to make up our shortfalls either.
Absolutely. You know, we talked about what Germany and France and England have, you know, and if we're going to be dependent on these others to stand up against Russia or China or North Korea, then we're making ourselves vulnerable just out of spite. So right now, the defense budget is about 16% of the federal budget writ large. And yet that 16% of the budget had to absorb half, 50% of the Budget Control Act cuts. So it's $1 trillion in reduced spending over a 10-year period. I mean, it's just our priorities are completely out of whack.
Those $200 billion or so shortfalls per annum come on top of about $1 trillion, as I understand it, that's already gone out of the defense budget. So we find ourselves with this yawning underinvestment. And you've described, you know, what that's meaning in today's forces. But what will we need to do, based on your analysis, Dakota Wood of the Heritage Foundation, to rectify this situation so that the next president in the country under his or her leadership isn't going to continue to run the risks we currently are?
Yeah, it's going to have to be a Reagan-esque buildup. So Jimmy Carter, at the end of his administration, realized how weakened he had allowed the military to get and kind of started that. Ronald Reagan came into office and said, look, if we don't do something now in a dramatic fashion, then the Soviet Union is going to ride roughshod off of Europe. Just kind of push us off the world scene. And it's not a pride privilege thing. It's the way of life, economic vitality, and really standing for what the United States has stood for so long, right? I mean, that's what's really at stake. So the current administration, this budget that will be released today, has a base of about $550 billion. If we were at Cold War, I mean, at the last averages, the last 40 years, it would be about $200 billion more, around $774 billion. So we've got to start buying back capacity. We just have to, we can't wear out the force at the rate that we have been wearing it out. You know, when I have fewer planes, the fewer planes I have are being used up faster. So capacity is a big deal. We have to invest in readiness. And then I think we need to invest in an experimentation force to better prepare us to be more adept at exploiting technological advances than what our competitors are going to be able to do. So if we want to stay ahead of the next step ahead, we have to be investing in experimentation now so that we're prepared for the tasks 10 or 15 years from now.
So to summarize here, just very briefly, you're talking about a very substantial increase in investment. That investment has to go to getting the readiness back up, getting people training again at the levels that assure their proficiency. You're going to have to make investments in the ships and the planes and the tanks and the missiles that are the backbone of our military. In other words, it's a huge, huge challenge. Dakota Wood, we'll come back with our final block, and we'll talk about the kinds of support systems that are needed to be maintained as well and rebuilt, including for our nuclear deterrent. That and more with Dakota Wood. Straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.